Turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, would you? Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read this portion of God's Word, and then we're going to unpack it and ask God to help us understand. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. We're going to go all the way to 24. 2 weeks ago, I got through verses 10, 11, and 12. We're going to do a quick review, and then we're going to go on all the way until the end of the chapter. Would you stand with me one more time in honor of God's Word, if you can? Ephesians 6, 10 to 24. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers, over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace to the brothers and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with you all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. This is God's Word. You may be seated. Let's bow our heads in prayer one more time. Why don't you spend a few more moments in quietness, in the solitude of your own heart, asking God to use His Word and through His Spirit speak to you this morning. Precious Heavenly Father, thank you for this, your Word. Thank you for these letters that Paul wrote so many years ago that have been preserved supernaturally by your mighty hand. Thank you, Lord, that you have given everything we need for a life of godliness. And once again, we come to it humbly, fully anticipating that your Holy Spirit will enlighten our hearts so that we can understand it and empower us so that we can practice it in our lives. You be all the glory, Lord. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Finally, verse 10. Paul begins this section with that word, finally. It means in light of all that God has done for us in Christ Jesus, in light of all of God's commands to the Ephesian church through the pen of Paul, in light of all that God has done for us as the body of Christ, in light of what I'm about to tell you, Paul tells them to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, or the strength of His might. This phrase, to be strong in the Lord, is a command. It's in the second person, present, passive imperative. Basically, what he is saying to that church is you, each one of you in the church, as they read this. Individually and corporately, as you gather together, recognize, know, that God is at this very moment in your life working in you with the same power that He used to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. That's what He's saying. Recognize that. Know that. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. He has already prayed this prayer for the Ephesians. Go back with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Starting with verses 18 and 20. Should take you just a second to get there. He says this, beginning in verse 18. He says, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us who believe according to the working of His great might that He worked in Christ when He raised from the dead. So by the time we get to Ephesians 6:10, Paul is repeating himself. He prayed that they would understand that our strength is in the power of His might. In light of that wonderful truth, and the command that Paul had issued to the church in Ephesians chapter 4, 1, which means his command was, look, to walk worthy. In light of all that, put on the whole armor of God. That's the command. Paul isn't going to cover new material in this section of the Word of God. He does use a new metaphor. He does use a new word picture, but he is basically summing up everything that he has already told them in the letter up to this point. Remember, this is not, when he tells them to put on the whole armor of God, this is not the first command that Paul has given them to put on something. Remember, in chapter 4, he had told them to put on a whole list of things. If you're going to walk in a manner worthy of your calling, you're going to have to put on, what are some of those things? You can look at it. Put on truth. Remember that? Put on hard work. Put on righteous anger. Put on tender, gracious words. Put on forgiveness. Put on selfless love. And he goes through a whole list of things that he tells them to put on. Be filled with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God. Paul is saying, God's strength is constantly, Ephesian church, and as a consequence, us here at Grace Church, God's strength is constantly working in our favor. Amen? God's power never ceases to be working in our lives. But regardless of whether God is working in our life, we still have an obligation, according to Paul, to put on and to put off. And here in Ephesians chapter 6, he's telling us to put on the whole armor of God. It's not our armor, is it? It's God's armor that we are commanded to put on. When all is said and done, Paul is commanding the church, and we talked about this 2 weeks ago, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. When he says put on the armor of God, he's telling them to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure the spiritual clothes that you're putting on matches up with who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ, what He's done for you. Remember 2 weeks ago we read a bunch of Old Testament passages. Remember that? And they all described our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it described Him in terms very familiar to Paul when he writes Ephesians chapter 6. He refers to the clothing or the armor that the Old Testament Jesus Christ put on. Or not the Old Testament Jesus Christ, He's the same today, forever, and He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But how they describe the Lord Jesus Christ, they describe His clothing in terms of spiritual armor. I made the point that Paul probably, because he's in prison in Rome, he's probably surrounded by Roman soldiers in their full gear. And so he probably looked around and, you know, oh, there's a good word for you. Let me use that one. The Holy Spirit reminds him. But basically, the armor of God doesn't come from the Roman soldiers. It comes from the Holy Spirit's description of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Paul is saying that we, the church in Ephesus, and us here at Grace Church, we're in a spiritual battle. We should dress accordingly. The soldiers on D-Day when they stormed the beaches of Normandy, were not carrying bath towels and flip-flops. They were dressed, what? In full battle gear. They were dressed for battle, and so should we. We are in a spiritual war against an enemy. But unlike the soldiers on D-Day, who were commanded to charge the beaches and take up ground, Paul does not command the Ephesian church, does not command us to charge. Gain the victory. He doesn't tell us to do that, does he? What is the command? Since we have put on the whole armor of God, or because we are putting on the whole armor of God, we are charged to what? Stand. The battle will, as Christians, come to us. Satan will attack us. Go with me to Acts chapter 19. Acts 19, we read this 40-some weeks ago when we began our study in the book of Ephesians. This relates Paul's 3-year experience. Of course, it's a very brief summary of his ministry there in Ephesus. But starting with verse 11, look what he mentions about this battle. Verse 11 of chapter 19. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hand of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left him, and the evil spirits came out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus Christ over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. 7 sons of the Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this. But the evil spirits answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, and fear fell upon them, and the name of the Lord was extolled. Paul did not begin a demon-casting ministry in the city of Ephesus. He continued preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are commanded against the enemy to stand, not to advance. He's going to come to us. And while he comes to us, our position is one of what? Standing firm. Remember when Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 16, he says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. Satan will advance against us, his enemies, but he is a defeated foe. The battle has already been won in the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Satan, our adversary, that's what the name actually means, adversary, the devil, he's a slanderer, he's a liar, he's been one a liar ever since the beginning. He will use all the spiritual forces at his disposal to move us in a direction away from God and his holiness. Christ is the source of all of our strength. The armor of Christ will enable us to stand, will enable us not to budge. That's the charge that Paul gives us. Stand against the schemes of the devil. Withstand in the evil day. You see that? Having done all, stand. Verse 14, stand. He repeats that phrase over and over again. Stand, 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 stand. Now remember that Paul, by the Holy Spirit, has commanded the Christians in Ephesus to walk the Christian life. He has told them over and over again, walk in a worthy manner. Walk this way. Walk this way. Walk. Pursue holiness. Progressively over the course of your lifetime, become more and more like Jesus. Walk in the direction of Christ. Pursue holiness. So what Paul's saying here as he gets to Ephesians chapter 6, as he's getting near the end of his book, his letter, he says, as you walk in the direction of Christ, Satan will come and try to push you in a direction away from Christ. And he charges the believer, make sure you, what? Stand firm. He's going to come against you over and over again with ways and ways and ways, and you're supposed to stand firm. I'm supposed to continue in the direction of Christ. This isn't a physical battle, remember? This isn't a battle against your wife. It's not against your husband, against your kids, against your boss. It's a spiritual war in the heavenly places. And Satan controls the. Satan is the prince of the power of the world, the Bible tells us. This world is his dominion right now. And you walk in your battle against Satan. You walk in a direction towards Christ, completely opposed by him. He's walking this way. The flow is going this way. The world system is going this way. And I'm going the opposite direction. I'm going that way. And as he's buffeting me, I'm supposed to what? Stand. I don't want to be turning around, going away. I used to go. Remember he tells us, don't walk like you used to walk, Gentile, like you were when you were Gentiles. Don't walk in the foolishness of your mind. Stand firm. Satan will put everything in his arsenal against us. He'll try to get us to walk in the direction we used to walk. Corinthians, the book of Corinthians tells us there's spiritual strongholds that the prince of this world has put into place. It's in this world system. It's all of his lies, all of his faulty arguments, all the false religions that he has put into place, all the false prophets that come and try to prophesy and tell you that's not what God is saying. All the false converts, apostates. I was talking to Audrey at the beginning of the service. There are several Christian men, several Christian people who were once very prominent authors, believers, who have abandoned the faith. And they have not only abandoned the faith, they have made it their goal, their purpose of life now to cause doubt in other Christians as well. That is Satan behind those men trying to what convince us that God's way is not the right way. It's all the doctrines, all the false doctrines. Satan is behind every single one of them. He's behind every idol that the world puts up in the place of God. The idols of fame and fortune and pleasure and comfort and ease and self. All the wonderful idols that he tries to make more important than God in our life. And we are commanded by Paul many, many times in this small section of his letter to the Ephesians to stand firm. James the half-brother of Jesus says it this way. He says, resist the devil. And what? When you resist the devil, what? He will flee from you. We're not supposed to flee from the devil. We're supposed to resist him. Peter says, be watchful and pray, for your enemy is like a roaring lion seeking whom he will devour. And so Paul says in verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having all, done all to stand. I believe here when he refers to the evil day, it's the evil day is the day of combat with the spiritual forces of darkness. It's not the last day. It's not the final battle between the forces of evil and the forces of the devil. But it's the day, any day, when the Christian, in his pursuit of holiness, in his walkness in the likeness of Christ, is confronted head on by the screams, the schemes, and the lies of the devil. And when does that happen? 24/7, right? We're always supposed to be having this armor on. We're never supposed to take it off because Satan is always combating us with the schemes and the lies of the spiritual forces in high places. Satan is behind all the video content that tells us that romantic love and sexual pleasures are the key to fulfillment and love and happiness. He tries to convince us that there's a better way apart from God. He's the one who's behind an economic system that teaches us that money is the key to success and happiness. He's the one who sits in the counselor's office who sits in the psychologist's chair, and he offers hope and solutions to your problems apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a lie. He is the one who works in and through our government systems and convinces people that governments and their policies are the solutions to man's problems. A lie. And we confront that 24/7. And he's behind the men who stand in the pulpit and they tell you that you can have your best life now. He's behind the men that tell us that hell is not real and that the standards that God has put place in the Bible are antiquated and therefore a different time and a different place. He is our enemy. To stand with the Lord is to stand against everything sinful and worldly that was once formerly our way of living and once was very appealing to us. To stand means to defend yourself from the attacks of the devil. And it means not to attack him. We're supposed to resist him. We are clothed with the garments of the righteous lifestyle that is in Christ Jesus. And we are strengthened in our inner man with the Spirit of the living God. And that strength enables us to resist and to stand firm against the devil. Now, there are scriptures in the Bible that tell us to flee from particular sins. Some sins we're not supposed to fight. Some sins we're not supposed to stand. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul tells the church, he says, flee immorality. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14, flee from idolatry. 1 Timothy chapter 6, flee from the love of money. 2 Timothy chapter 2, flee from youthful lust. I heard one pastor say, when it comes to money and honeys, flee, run. Monies and honeys, you run. Remember Joseph? Potiphar's wife? What do you do? He stood there, man. He stood firm. What did he do? No, he took off like a... He should have taken off. But when it comes to the devil and his lies, we're supposed to resist. We're supposed to stand against him. What did Jesus do when he was tempted by the devil in person? What did he stood firm. And when the devil had finished tempting Jesus and Jesus passed the test, the text tells us that Satan departed from him until another opportune time. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's a promise that God has given us. When we stand firm in the power of his might and as we clothe ourselves with the armor of God, the devil will run. We stand against the schemes of the devil, not in our own power. The devil is stronger than any one man. He's stronger than many angels, but he's not stronger than God. Stand in Christ in the power of the gospel with his armor. There was a Puritan writer who said this. Let me read it to you. In heaven we shall appear not in armor, but in robes of glory. But here on earth, the whole armor of God is to be worn night and day. We must work, walk, and sleep in them, or else we are not true soldiers of Christ. We must not confide in the armor of God. What? He goes on to say, we must confide in the God of this armor. Because all of our weapons are only mighty through God. Verse 14, Paul says, stand therefore once again. That word stand is the Greek word histomi. Histomi. Does that sound like anything? Histomi. You know, our bodies have histamines in them. And they are part of the natural, and I'm not a doctor, and I might misquote here, but I thought I did some pretty good reading. So if I'm wrong, you can come and correct me. But they're part of the natural defense system of our body. Sometimes we take antihistamines because our nose is running too much, right? Our body is working too hard. But our bodies have natural defense systems. And so what is the defense system that God has put at our disposal that enables us to stand firm against the attacks of the devil on the church, on the body of Christ? Now, we're going to get into this list of equipment that Paul mentions, and we could spend probably another 6 or 7 weeks in Ephesians just studying each piece of this equipment, but we're not going to. He says this, having fastened on the belt of truth. You see that? This word picture comes from the Roman soldier. They would have these long flowing garments, and when they were ready to do battle, they would pick up the garments so that they wouldn't trip over them. They would knot them at their waist and tuck them in their, what? Their belt. And from the belt hung the sheath for the Roman soldier, and the belt tied tightly around the waist, indicating that, hey, I'm now ready for battle. I'm prepared for battle. Conversely, if he loosened his belt and he let his robes flow down to the ground again, or down to his ankles, that meant what? I'm not ready for battle. I'm going to take a vacation. I'm on leave. I'm furloughed. That's not what Paul says. He says, your attitude as a soldier in the battle against the enemy who is attacking you daily should be a preparedness. We are always on duty. For our foe, the enemy, never rests. So what does Paul mean by this belt of truth? Well, usually we think of a belt, we think of a thing, or a what. I believe what Paul is saying, he's referring to a who. Who is the belt of truth that we are supposed to dress? Jesus said in John 14:6, you remember? I am the way, the truth, and the life. We are supposed to gird ourselves up with Jesus Christ. Put on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Make your identity in Christ the center of your life. Wrap that around you. Someone once said that our identity is based on what the most important person in your life actually thinks of you. Is the most important person in your life the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know what he thinks of you? We can know what Jesus thinks of us if we understand the gospel. There is nothing that we can do because of the gospel that will make us more acceptable in God's eyes. God accepts us in Jesus Christ. There is nothing I can do to make him love me more, and there is nothing I can do to make him love me less. Are we, when you think that you are accepted in Christ Jesus based upon your performance, that is a lie of the devil. He's a liar. God doesn't love you. Look what you just did. You've lost favor with him. Maybe you don't have your salvation. Lies of the devil. Wrap yourself with the belt of truth, which is Jesus Christ. Remember what Jesus Christ thinks of you. And remember what God thinks of you. That is a place that Satan will attack in your mind. That's how Jesus was attacked by Satan. Remember, he says, if you are the Son of God, turn this bread into stone. I'm just turning this stone into bread. What's he doing? He's making it, maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm not everything that the Bible tells me I am in Christ Jesus. Maybe I need to prove myself to him. Put the belt of truth around your waist. Wrap what Christ says about you in his word around the center of your being, around your core. In your spiritual encounters against the schemes and lies of the devil, make sure the truth of who Christ is and what he has done for you and who you are in him. Remember all the times in Ephesus, in Ephesians, where Paul says you are in him. You are in Christ Jesus. Make sure that wraps itself tightly around you. Never forget that. Then he goes on and says, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Once again, it describes what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. It does not describe our own righteousness. All of our righteousness is as what? Filthy rags. We aren't putting on our own righteousness. That isn't going to protect us at all. That isn't going to make us stand against the lies of the devil, but the righteousness of Christ will. The gospel message preached to ourselves daily reminds us that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing anybody else can do, and nothing that I can do can separate us from the love of Christ. When you are tempted to beat yourself up because of sin in your life, repeated sin, remember that Christ atoned for your sin once and for all, and God has placed His righteousness upon you. You are clothed in His righteousness. Never forget that. The devil will make you doubt, will make you afraid, that somehow you are no longer in God's good graces. But as you put on the breastplate of righteousness, when you put on Christ's righteousness in your mind and heart, you remember where you stand. Verse 15, having as shoes for your feet, and having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In order to stand firm, you need good shoes. You need good footing. Perhaps as he looked over at his Roman soldier, he probably didn't have the shoes he had needed for war, but the shoes for war were often spiked. They had nails on the bottom of their sandals so that they could sink their feet into the ground and stand firm against the onslaughts of the enemy. Readiness to stand firm is given by, the gospel of peace. Remember this in your fight against the devil as he attacks you with his lies, with his doubts. Remember that you were saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. The way we hold back the corrupting influences of the enemy of our life is by establishing every part of our life, our hopes, our dreams, our failures, our worries, our fears, our relationships, our pleasures, our disappointments, on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Readiness to do battle is given by the gospel, and whatever part of our life is not saturated in the gospel of Jesus Christ is subject to manipulation by the enemy against you. We have peace with God because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Did you know you were once, and I was once, God's enemies? He was at war with us. But we heard the wonderful good news that Jesus Christ saves enemies. He reconciles that relationship. We have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We are now His, what, sons and daughters? We are now His friends. And now we have a new enemy. It's not God the Father. It's whom? Satan. And Satan will try to convince you sometimes because of your failures and your mistakes and your sins that, you know what, God is still your enemy. God isn't your enemy. He's your friend because of Jesus Christ. The fully clothed believer is alert to the fact that Satan's desire is to tempt him to doubt, to deny, to disregard, and to disobey God. To believe that God somehow is still against me. Resist Him. Stand firm in the gospel. You get the idea that Paul is repeating himself? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the good news, the gospel. Stand firm in that. Clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel, Jesus Christ, should clothe every part of our body. Because only the gospel can fortify us. Only the gospel can give us strength. And the promise is that Satan will flee. Putting on these pieces is how you fulfill Paul's command in verse 10 to be strong in the Lord. You see, the gospel message that Paul has taught us for six chapters in this book is that we were once weak. We were once sinful. We were once walking in disobedience. We were spiritually dead. We were foolish in our minds. That's who we once were. But God, by His grace, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ has saved you. Look what all you have in Christ Jesus. What the gospel teaches you goes against everything the world tells you. The world tells you to be strong in yourself. The gospel teaches you that you are not strong in yourself. It teaches you to be strong in the Lord, to let Him be your strength and your power, to let Him be your security in every area of your life. Not some bank account, not some 401k, not some good doctor's report, but be strong in the Lord. The world tells you to be strong in yourself. You cannot be strong in yourself and be strong in the God of the gospel at the same time. Quickly, let's close down. Verses 16 and 17. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In all circumstances, all the time. Like I said before, there are no furloughs in this war. There are no leaves. This is an intense battle that happens every single second of every single day of our lives. In whatever circumstances that you find yourself confronting, take up, Paul said, the shield of faith. There were two shields that the Roman soldiers used. There was a smaller one that they could wield with one hand. It was very flexible, very, not flexible, but you could move it easily. And that was one shield. But there was a bigger shield, and this is the one that Paul is referring to here. It was sometimes 4 feet tall, 2.5 feet wide. You could actually, the Roman soldier, if he crouched, he could actually protect himself from the flaming darts of it. He could do it. Maybe you've seen movies where, you know, soldiers stand together around and all the flaming darts come along and they protect themselves. The shield of faith, the Christian shoulder, this Christian soldier's shield is faith. We sang about it this morning in our songs. A faith in the trustworthy God that saved us by His Son's blood. The faith in the one who is named Faithful and True. Jesus Christ, that's His name, Faithful and True. Faith is an essential protection against the flaming arrows of temptation, of doubt, of fear. Because faith is the believer's expression of trust in God's promises, His plans, and His truth. Faith is the unwavering belief in God's Word, God's Son, and the Gospel. And that protects us from all the temptation of the devil's arrows. When he talks about the helmet of salvation, I believe the helmet protects our head, right? The mind. What does Corinthians tell us about the mind? It says that we have the what? The mind of Christ. We put on the helmet, we're putting on Christ. That helmet protects us against discouragement, against doubt, against the desire to give up, throwing the towel, the quit. The mind of Christ gives us hope, knowing that we are saved. Once saved, we're always saved. We are saved from the penalty of sin. We are being saved from the power of sin. And one day, thank God, we'll be saved from the presence of sin. It is the assurance that God will triumph over evil and give us the victory. One of Satan's most effective weapons against us as Christians is discouragement, to give up, to call it quits, to quit the battle, just too tired, just going to give in. Just this once. When we are properly equipped with the helmet of salvation, Paul is saying it's very, very hard to be discouraged because we have the mind of Christ. And what did Christ do when He was tired? Well, He considered the cost and He endured the pain and He went all the way to His death. And then He says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. At this point, most preachers would point out that the sword is probably the only offensive weapon. All the others were defensive weapons. But I believe in the context here, it's probably Paul was talking about the sword of spirit as a defensive weapon. Against the here you are standing against the blows of the devil, against the lies of the devil. What do you got there? You got the sword of the spirit. It's not like you're sticking it in him. You're what? Deflecting the blows of the devil, the lies of the devil. You're combating that with the word of God. What did Jesus do? Once again, when he was tempted by the devil, what did he say? It is what? Written. Three times. It is written. He used the word of God in his fight against the devil. It is written. It is written. It is written. We defend ourselves against the lies of the devil with the truth of God's word. Resist the devil with the power of his power of the soul, the word of God. Let me read once again this last section. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, to them, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare boldly as I ought to speak. So Paul comes first full circle. He began in verse 10 saying, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And prayer is the place where we best exemplify that we trust that God is the source of our strength. Being strong in the Lord rather than the strength of our own might. Those who look to themselves for strength in the evil day will quickly find it in short supply. They will not stand. Those who are mighty in their confidence in God, through prayer, will find help in his power and find that they are so deep and so wide and so high that God's strength and power never runs out. And we express our confidence in God's strength by what? Praying. We humble. We realize that I am weak. I need you, God, every single second of the moment. We read it at the beginning of our message today, Isaiah chapter 40. So remember, it says the mightiest, the strongest, the bravest, they're going to get exhausted in their own strength in this battle. They will grow weary. They will stumble. They won't stand. But those who wait on the Lord, what was it? Isaiah 40, 31. But those who wait in the Lord will what? Renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Our prayer life is an indication whether or not we are trusting in His strength or our strength life. If we are rushing ahead in our Christian walk and not praying, we are either extremely arrogant, I don't need you, God, I can handle this on my own. Either we're very proud, or we're very disbelieving. You say, I really don't think God can help me with this battle. And we're really stupid. Sorry to say that. I'm sorry, kids. Did not rely on God and His strength. If we rely on our strength, we will quickly find ourselves being pushed around by the devil. One last observation, then we'll close. You might have noticed that Paul doesn't mention anything about armor on our back, does he? Everything he seems to mention is facing the enemy. What if he comes around my backside, you know? Well, I don't know if it's the point here. I don't know if Paul was actually trying to make us think, you know, okay, when you get up in the morning, make sure you put on this piece of... He's not talking about physical pieces of equipment. He's talking about a spiritual war that we're in. The spiritual onslaught that we get from the devil. But I think we can make an application here. Who's got my back? Well, God's got my back, but who's got my back? He's writing to a church. And soldiers don't fight this battle alone. They fight it with each other. And so I've got somebody at my back. Back to back, we're facing what? The flaming darts of the devil. And I think that's his point in this last portion. Because look what he says as he closes up the passage. It says, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister of the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers and love with from faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be to you all who love our Lord Jesus Christ and who love the incorruptible. Paul has already taught this church how to walk in a manner worthy of their calling. And one of those ways of walking in a manner worthy is all the one another's that we find in the Bible. And we've already talked about these. You know, encouraging one another. He mentions that here. Loving one another. Praying for one another. And so as you do battle against the enemy, remember that you have brothers and sisters who can pray for you and pray what? With you. So much so that what God will enable you by His strength will to stand firm. So if you're going through a dark spot in your life, man, make sure you're letting your brothers and sisters in the Lord know that you need and you covet their prayers. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this letter that you have given us, preserved for us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that our enemy is a defeated foe. His demise is certain. But he still, while we are here on earth, attacks us, tries to get us to abandon the faith, to doubt our salvation, to make us think and walk like the world. Lord, thank you. By the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, give us the grace to stand together against the enemy. For your glory, I pray this in Jesus' name, amen.